We'll really never get tired of this, will we?
What, the song?
We can live with this. This celebration can go for a couple of years.
I was just thinking we could do a whole week-long parade celebration still.
Why not?
Like, we just...
It's 4:05. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. BT is out today. He's got the Cardinals. Does he have to do it? Anybody know if he has the game or the pre and post? I don't know. But he's on FS Midwest. Either way, he's on FS Midwest tonight. So it's Ronj and Randy with you. Great to have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And later on, we're going to talk to our buddy Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic. We're going to talk to Blues broadcaster analyst Joey Vitale, who was great at the parade and the rally on Saturday. Mark Saxon and Kelly Chase will join us as well on the heels of the greatest day in the history of St. Louis. I'm going to go beyond, and I know this might seem like the epitome of hyperbole, but this is the greatest day, sports or other, in the history of St. Louis. Saturday was.
Because it happened here. I think you can make the argument that the night of Game 7 was that, but it happened away from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the event itself, as far as events go in this city, I'm not sure you're going to find a better day than what happened on Saturday, because it was, you know, and you know this better than just about anybody else, Randy. It's a decades-long journey for a lot of people who have been fans, who have been waiting for this to happen, for people who have been members of the organization or just following season ticket holders, casual fans even, whatever, diehards. You have all these people who have been waiting over 50 years, half a century for this to happen. And most of us, for me, an entire lifetime, everybody in this room, with the exception of you, an entire lifetime,
mm-hmm.
You, most of your life, waiting for this to happen, and it finally did. So it was like the top finally blew, and it was such a great day. And it was an uneventful day in the sense that nobody got in trouble.
No,
so that's good.
Players
right?
could have, but they didn't. And the coolest thing about it is all of those fans that you talk about were able to interact with the players. To me, as great as it was to see Bob Plager and the joy on his face, and people like Ray Barilli, who's been the trainer for 24 years, and Kelly Chase and Brett Hull, who really didn't have an expression, but you know what I'm talking about. The way that those players got off of their cars or off of their trucks or their fire trucks or, in Alex Petrangelo's case, their Budweiser wagon, and came down and allowed that Stanley Cup and allowed themselves to be shared by the Blues fan base was the greatest sports parade ever. That's what makes it. You don't see the Red Sox or the Patriots get off of their duck boats in New England. You don't see the Yankees or the Giants in the Canyon of Champions going out and making themselves touchable to the fan base. And that's what was cool about this, is that Vladdy Tarasenko goes up and hugs a young man who's got Down syndrome. And his name is Harrison Schmidt, and he's involved with the Albert Pujols Foundation. He plays in their basketball game every year. And we hear that he was at an event on Saturday night, and he was still on cloud nine because Vladdy went and hugged him and gave him an autograph for his jersey.
So I thought I went down to the Arch grounds first before the parade really got going. You and Michelle went and covered the parade. You walked the route with everybody. You did the live mic stirring, which was really good coverage. I got to listen to some of it coming in today. So the thought process was, let's go down by the Arch. It's going to be madness down there. That's where the stage is going to be. Stake out, get a good spot, and it's going to be great. That was like the first media person down there. Nobody else did that. Everybody walked the route, and it did take a whole lot longer, and I didn't know why. I wasn't able to kind of follow along what was going on during the parade, but it was because everybody got off their floats. Everybody got out of their cars, whatever they were riding in.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen, and I have been to multiple championship parades. Never seen that. That I can recall, I've never seen all the players, everybody get out and start walking and interact, shake hands, sign autographs. And eventually somebody who was in the area where I was said, yeah, apparently it's taking a long time because everybody's gotten out of their car
mm-hmm.
so they can interact with all the fans along the route. That is a really, really special thing. And I regret now doing what I did. I wish I could have been there to see all of it for myself. But man, what a really amazing day for this city because of that. And you could tell, and I think the energy of the people. Well, really the energy of the players and the people, everybody was sort of feeding off each other in that day because of the things we were talking about at the very beginning. We've all been waiting for this for a very long time, and that was palpable on Saturday.
I only saw one semi-negative thing, and that was a woman being taken away from the stage area in cuffs, screaming, "But it's a once-in-a-lifetime chance!" But it, apparently she tried to get up on the stage or did get up on the stage, so the cops cuffed her. I guess she probably didn't get arrested. But she just wanted to take advantage of that once-in-a-lifetime chance to be a part of what this was. And that's the cool thing about it. However many people were out there, and Channel 4 yesterday had a report that it was 1.5 million. Other people are speculating 300,000, whatever the number was. The fact that those people got a chance to celebrate with the players. They were all one, just like at OB Clark's on Thursday or at Wheelhouse Friday night. Everybody became one, and the players allowed that to happen. That's the coolest part of the whole weekend.
So in making the walk from the note, going down to the arch, and this was before anything had happened, no players, none of the floats had come through first, there was just a lot of energy. People were buzzing. People were loud. People were cheering. And nothing had happened yet. Not a single player had passed by them yet. I mean, we were probably a half hour, 40 minutes from anybody passing through the route in the spots that I walked by, and everybody was energized.
Isn't that incredible?
So, I mean, I can't even imagine what it felt like to be there in person. It was probably that times 2, 3, or 10. It was just the energy there. I don't think you can recreate something like that.
And how long have we talked about, man, that Blues parade down Market Street? And I felt that energy riding Metrolink down. I got on at the 64 Brentwood station, and it was jam-packed, but the energy was so positive and so palpable. And then, like you said, when we get out on the street and we walk, how long did it take us to get across Market Street?
Oh, I don't know, like 20 minutes? We kept trying to find a spot to pass the barricades.
Yeah, and this is 3 hours before the, no, 2 hours before the parade began. And we couldn't find a place to cross Market Street. And we appreciate the volunteers and all the police officers who finally did help us get across.
So it was you and Michelle and myself, and we walked. We finally got across, and it was right where two St. Louis fire trucks, one on each side of the street, and they were extending the ladders so they could raise a Blues flag. And you've seen it, and I think everybody's seen the image by now. But we would walk past. We're walking to the note. We're right outside the note, and you remember that really loud cheer. It was like, I don't know, it was like the ending of a, it was like a walk-off home run kind of cheer. And somebody was trying to speculate in the group of us, like, what was that all about? Well, it was because they raised that Blues flag. They put that flag up at that moment, and the crowd around that moment went nuts. Such a great day. And, you know, you and I and BT talked about this in the lead up to it. If they were able to do this and win the Stanley Cup, the parade, the celebration, everything that happens, as good as another championship could be, and the Blues might win again in a couple of years, next year, 5 years, 10, it could happen again. It probably will not be for a long, long time as good as it feels right now and as good as Saturday felt. Because it was the first time, and because it was something none of us had ever experienced before.
And ultimately, this is St. Louis at its best. What does St. Louis do better than anything? We do sports better than anything. What does a winning team do? It galvanizes a community. And we've had a lot of things that have torn this community apart over the last decade or so. It's certainly not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but when you see the love and the joy that everybody was able to experience on Saturday, and you realize, man, this is what we're capable of, to see this. It was St. Louis at its best. It was St. Louis at what it is capable of. And it was incredible. And I would venture to say that it's better than any city in America at doing what it did on Saturday.
I don't think we've gotten enough credit as a city for what we are capable of doing. There's a lot of, all you have to do is just be outside the city for any amount of time, and you will see there's not a whole lot of positive things that are said about here. Whether it's, you know, regionally, things that happen here, negative stuff that happens here, and we've got that. A lot of cities have it. We have it too. But there's this perception of St. Louis just being sort of second class. And that extends to sports. And I know a lot of people around the country will say, you know what, just forget about the Rams leaving you. Move on from that. And I think that kind of matters. We talked to Dan McLaughlin about that on Friday. And for people who say that to us, just move on, forget it. You know, just get over it. The Rams left, get over it. Well, no.
Nobody would say that.
Well, Randy, I don't know if you know this, but somebody did. And somebody in this room took exception with it. And then that somebody said, let's talk about it. It wasn't me. It was a guy much more famous than all of us. But it matters. That stuff matters. When I think it does. I think perception matters.
It does.
When there's a perception, a negative perception of your area, you can't do anything right, you can't do sports right, you can't support anything but baseball, then people think you're a podunk, that's all you are kind of town. All you can do is have a good baseball team. You know, all Tuscaloosa can do is Alabama football, and they can't do anything else. You're putting us in the same category as that, and they do that one thing really well. But when you see us as a city be able to celebrate the way we do and support the way we do things other than baseball, I hope that goes a long way to fixing that perception, the national perception. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a little bit Pollyanna. Maybe I'm being hopeful here. That something like what happened this Saturday and the display of people celebrating something significant and doing it in the right way goes a long way toward changing that perception.
Hope so. It's Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we've got more of the greatness from the Stanley Cup Celebration Parade. Send your stories and emotions to us now on the Hot Shots text line 65780 or leave us a mic drop on the 101 ESPN app. We want to hear from you next on 101 ESPN. It did for me. A lot of people ask me from Wednesday night on, Has it sunk in for you? And especially when you see when I saw the Stanley Cup and the arch in my purview, yeah, we in St. Louis are the Stanley Cup champions.
That's so even driving by Enterprise right now and seeing the decal on the side of the cup and then, you know, Stanley Cup final.
The building? Yeah,
the building.
Champions?
Yeah, that is just, it's
still surreal,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's funny to see that. And I don't think you can, at least I can't, I have a difficult time just saying that without thinking about it in context. And the context is this team was really bad in January.
And yeah, unbelievable.
There was just no way. Remember we had somebody who had maybe during a six-pack or something, and I know we've talked about it since, but he asked us, and I forgot exactly what it was, should I put money on them in Vegas to win the cup?
Yeah.
And this is when they were bad. And we all told him, save your money, man. And you said this one time a couple of weeks ago, never would have thought this team, never would have thought this group of guys. Not that they weren't special, but it was because of where they were not too long ago to get to this point. Of all the Blues teams, the President's Trophy team, the team that preseason – oh, yeah, this is definitely going to be the one to win. All the national prognosticators picking the Blues to win the West, to go to a Stanley Cup final. The amount of times that happened, but they never actually followed through with it. For this to be the team that does it, just extraordinary.
We get texts to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Jeff from Arnold. I'm with you, Randy. Best ever sports day in STL history. You could actually feel the love in the air. Everything about Saturday was incredible. Everyone was so nice, and the city was glowing. A beautiful sea of blue. It was great. Let's see. Walking down Broadway at 12:30 at night, I just couldn't believe it. I don't really remember. Happens when you celebrate hard for 16 hours.
Did they run into Hull?
Probably.
Yeah, they probably
would think
did.
So. On one hand, this is from the 314, you could see many players if you were 10 people deep because they were off the trucks. And on the other hand, the cup was 10 feet from my face. It was amazing. Patrick Maroon, towards the end of the route, took the cup to an old man and old woman right in the first row sitting in lawn chairs. The man was 89 and the woman was 81. And Patrick set it down in front of him and allowed the man to put his hands on the edge of the cup. And he just bent down. And I think he was crying. And those are the sorts of things that, with the Blues being out in the street, we got an opportunity to take advantage of. That's Alex Pietrangelo. Read Ben Fredrickson's piece in the Post about Alex Pietrangelo and the people that he brought out of the crowd.
I think as soon as he gave it to Maroon, he said, I'll never see that again.
Yeah.
For the rest of the day, it's going to be gone, which is a really funny comment. But that's what was a really wonderful thing about Saturday, was that it wasn't, and I don't think you can reiterate this enough, if you've ever watched a championship parade before, I, honest to God, and maybe I'm totally wrong about this and I'm just forgetting about it and I have seen it before, but it's I'm not able to access that memory. I have never seen, that I can recall, players get off whatever float, vehicle, duck boat, whatever it is they're on, and start walking the route with everybody and take that trophy and let everybody along the way touch it.
Yeah.
Or just, pulling people out of the crowd.
That just doesn't happen.
Right? It doesn't. I can't remember that I've ever seen it. It was a striking thing for me. And again, as I told you, when I'm down in the Arch grounds and somebody, I forgot who it was, that said, yeah, the reason it's taking so long is apparently they've all gotten out of their vehicles and they're walking the route and signing autographs and whatnot. I thought, oh, okay. So that's not something I've ever been used to. I've never seen it.
And here is So St. Louis. Before we get to some mic drops on 101 ESPN, this from the 618. I have my three kids at the rally. 9, 4, and 2 years old. The younger two fell asleep for a little while we were there for 5 hours, and the group around us formed a barricade around the blanket they were sleeping on so they wouldn't get stepped on. Blues fans are the best.
Man,
that's just So St. Louis.
So many people had set up, and somebody had texted in a little bit ago, and I want to address this because I was talking about how I regretted not walking the route and going straight to the Arch grounds to stake out a good spot, and how I wish I'd, because I had a press pass like you did, the press wristband,
right,
which would have allowed me in on the streets to walk with everybody. So I could have been with you and Michelle and doing all of that, interacting. But for the people who did not show up at, like, I don't know, 7 a.m. or the night before, because there were people camping out along the route the night before. Mm-hmm. And we had somebody who texted in to the Hot Shots text line and said, you know, I'm almost in tears because I took my kids directly to the Arch instead of going to the parade route, and I regret that decision. And I'm like, no, man, don't regret that, because if you had been on the route as a fan, it would have been very, very difficult to see anything unless you had gotten there super early or the night before, and that's not realistic for a lot of people. Wherever you were as a fan taking this in, you're in great shape. Just if you did take young kids and you don't feel like you got the best spot, all you have to do is know that you went there and you were there. You were there with all those people. And no matter how good of a seat you had to see it all, you were in the presence of the Cup. You were in the presence of a celebration. And that's really all that matters.
And history. You were in the presence of history.
Correct.
Let's get to some mic drops. Jonathan on 101 ESPN.
Towards the end of the parade, several players were running up and down Market Street with the Cup, Pareko, Perron. Sammy Blais was running around, jumping, literally crowd surfing. And then when I got up to the gate, he saw us and sprinted over and did a flying Superman. I'm glad I was there to hold him up because he may have crushed some of the littler people. And I gave him the biggest bear hug and the hardest noogie ever. And it was the coolest thing ever. Dude was sweaty and faced, but it was the best time. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. Literally, hyperbole aside, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. And it was amazing.
One thing about Jordan Binnington, this is how things have changed. If Jordan Binnington gets on that scooter in any of the previous 51 years, 50 seasons of Blues hockey, he wrecks that thing and tears up his knee.
Uh-huh.
He's Eric Johnson in the golf cart. He's Doug Wickenheiser falling off of the back of the pickup truck. He is Bob Gassoff tragically on the motorcycle. Something bad happens. That's how the tide has turned for the St. Louis Blues.
But Randy, it's also a different context because this is the first time we've had a moment like that after Stanley Cup.
That's true.
This only would have happened prior to the Stanley Cup.
No doubt about
which
it.
Which would have forced them to not win it.
And Steven has a mic drop for us on 101 ESPN.
I wasn't able to go down to the parade. However, I watched the entire parade and celebration on TV. And let me tell you, having players like that engage themselves into the crowd and what Binnington was doing made me feel so good and glad to be a St. Louisan. LGB, let's go Blues.
Well said.
That was evident if you were anywhere down there.
Yep.
Justin, and I don't think it's I haven't been to any of the Cardinals parades. You've been to all of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of the most.
82 and 06 and 11, yeah.
Okay. How was this in comparison to those? Because I did not attend any of them.
There was nowhere near the level of interaction because the Cardinal people didn't get out of their trucks or their cars to go and greet the fans. They were waving and they were joyous, but they weren't taking their trophy over to allow fans to touch it, and they weren't going over and high-fiving fans and running to each side of the street and taking youngsters that are disabled out of the crowd so that they could hug them or allow them to experience the trophy. This was way different than anything else I think any of us had ever seen.
Yeah, most of the parades I've seen, guys are in, like if you're on a duck boat, I don't know if that's really conducive to getting out of it and walking around. If you're on a double-decker bus, you certainly can't do that. And all the parades I've seen, that's what's going on. These guys are up high on a platform, and they're not really coming down and getting out of the bus so they can hang out with the people. The way it was done on Saturday, and that was completely organic. That wasn't planned. It wasn't like, hey, guys, we have these rides for you, but we all want you to get out as soon as you get in the car. We want you to get out and start walking the parade route. That's not the plan. The plan was be in the car, get yourself down to the arch grounds. We'll do the little ceremony and the presentation, and that'll be it. But the players had different ideas, and that's another thing that's special about them as a group.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. One last text here. Kroenke was right. St. Louis fans suck, in parentheses, sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that from the 314. Next up, we're going to talk to our Blues insider from The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford, about his Saturday. He is next on 101 ESPN.
Everybody likes to talk about the greatest this and the greatest that, but we know one thing for sure. You'll never, ever witness a more epic, interactive parade celebration between the fans, the players, the alumni, just the entire city than what we witnessed this past weekend. And now, if they didn't know already, they realize this isn't just a baseball town. It's an amazing hockey town and a fantastic sports town, period.
Mentality is a great place to go if you want to get that energy back. If you used to be able to blast through workouts, if you used to be able to play a great basketball game and not fade at the end, but you can't do it anymore because you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, visit my friends at Mentality and get back in the game. They have locations in Chesterfield and South County, and those things that I talked about might be a product of low T. Well, when you go to Mentality, their board-certified physicians are going to bring you in. They're going to do a complete panel on your blood work and find out if your testosterone levels are below where they should be. And if those levels are low at Mentality, they can take care of it. And it's all covered by insurance. You can learn more at lowtusa.com. Lowtusa.com. At Mentality, they're going to make sure that you do get back in the game. They have an FDA-approved testosterone supplemental treatment that has a 90% success rate and is safe for men to use regardless of medical condition. Mentality. In Chesterfield and South County, and on the web at lowtusa.com. Our buddy Jeremy Rutherford is our Blues insider from The Athletic and did incredible work for 101 ESPN and for The Athletic during the course of the Blues Stanley Cup run. Now a little bit of a chance to decompress, we think. JR is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. Actually, leaving Wednesday for Vancouver for the draft, and then I come back Monday, and I'm going to write a story about some guy getting a tattoo.
Looking forward to that. That'll happen next week, and more information will be forthcoming. But, yeah, JR has always wanted to do the Randy Carricker tattoo story, so we're going to allow that.
So, JR, will you be in attendance for the event?
I'm hoping to. I need to hear what the day is, and hopefully I'll be back in time. But I've been waiting for this for many years, not a blue Stanley Cup, but a Randy Carricker tattoo. So I can't wait for the date.
So I met up with Randy and Smallman earlier before the parade started on Saturday. We were trying to find a place to cross over to get to the other side of Market. And I don't know, maybe 9 to 10 times in the, 10 minutes or so we were trying to find a good place to cross over. Hey, you getting that tattoo? Randy, you got the tattoo yet? I mean, it happened at least a dozen times, I would say, people were asking him about it.
It's great. He's a popular guy. And, yeah, they were chanting his name as much as they were chanting Vladdy and O'Reilly. And Randy is super popular. So a lot of people are aware of the past several years him talking about getting a tattoo. And now it's time. Now you got to pay up, Randy. But I know you're in for it.
He's doing it.
Nothing is as popular as that Stanley Cup. And you were embedded with the parade on Saturday. And there's so much to talk about with that parade. And you have a great piece up at The Athletic about it. But give us your top two or three takeaways from the parade on Saturday.
Yeah, just a couple quick things. And to give it some context, you have to remember that for years, Randy, you know very well, that everybody within the Blues organization talked about the parade on Market Street. It's going to be on Market Street. We can't wait. The parade on Market Street. And so about 20 minutes before the parade, Mike Caruso was telling me, hey, just jump in with somebody. And I said, hey, thanks. But at that point, I didn't have anything solidified, nailed down. So, you know, I'm asking Colton Parayko if he's got room, and that didn't work out. And finally, Jake Allen said, yeah, just hop on the back of this fire truck. So, you know, when we turned and made the right turn onto Market Street, and you could see them 15, 20 deep, and you could hear the roar. And now we have to be honest here. Jake Allen has had his detractors. You know, people over the past couple of years have wanted him out of town. Let's just be honest. But to hear the roar and to hear the Jake the Snake chants, it was just surreal. To look up and see that green Market Street sign and realize that this was really happening was just something else.
Well, I think people have found Allen to be endearing, and everybody knows the story or the stories about him being helpful to Jordan Binnington and not sulking about it. And I'm sure that inside he wasn't feeling very good about the fact he had lost his job and, you know, all of this stuff transpired after he had lost his job. I'm sure part of him that eats away at him, but he did nothing but be an incredible professional in helping Binnington along the way. And people are aware of that.
He was terrific, and I think people did hear those reports, you know, read those stories, hear it on the radio, how much he was just in favor of Jordan Binnington and was happy for his success and just wanted to see the team do very well, and I think the people latched on to that. And, you know, I don't think anybody wearing a blue note on Saturday for the parade was they were cheering for everybody. You know, they were so excited to be there. And I got to tell you guys that you were just talking a minute ago about these players getting out of the truck, getting out of the cars. I was on the back of this fire truck, and I had to get up and move, obviously, for Jake Allen to climb out of the fire truck. Well, the first time that he did, I was like, oh, maybe one of his daughters dropped their pacifier, and that's why he's getting out of the truck real quick. So then he'd run over and shake more hands and sign autographs and do the selfies, and then he'd get back in the truck, and, you know, it'd be 10 minutes would go by, and, you know, Jake's trying to get out again. I couldn't believe it. He got in and out of that truck 20 times during that parade. So you guys are exactly right. I've never seen anything like that with the way the guys interacted.
And JR, you have really chronicled Bob Plager throughout this run to the Stanley Cup for the Blues, the great stories about him not wanting to watch the games. What was Saturday like for him?
It was amazing. I talked to him prior to, and I said, what do you expect? And he goes, oh my gosh, it's going to be unbelievable. He couldn't wait to get outside. You saw him get into the GTO. He had his family there, his daughter, Melissa, who is a huge fan and just as superstitious as he is. He couldn't believe the day was here. And so I made it a point to, A, catch up with him beforehand and then also talk to him afterwards. And you guys might have seen his comment in the article yesterday where he said, hey, this was bigger and better than we even envisioned. And for anybody who doesn't think that St. Louis is a sports town, come and visit us. And Bobby Plager, you guys know he's one to kind of go on and talk. He just stopped it right there and walked away. It was like a Bobby Plager mic drop.
Oh, my God. I can't. There are so many people that I wish I could feel what they're feeling, you know, and he's one of them. Hull, well, I guess we could all feel what Hull's feeling if we wanted to. It'd be very easy to buy the stuff to make that happen. But, you know, just to be able to be in the minds of these fellows, you know, Al MacInnis and anybody else, Kelly Chase, anybody, we're going to talk to him later. Anybody who has been in this organization for a long time and never got to experience it I want to know what they feel right now.
Yeah, and we spoke to Kelly Chase. It was around the time that the rally was going on stage, and I just said, what do you think? And he said, it's just amazing. He said, you don't win it as a player. You feel bad. anytime you hear about the Stanley Cup, you don't want to think about it. You know that if it's around, you can't touch it. And he said, now it's like all that's gone. The demons are gone, he said. Now you lift the thing. You don't worry about it. People talk about it. You talk about it. He said, yeah, he didn't win it as a player. But he said, for everybody in that organization to feel what he's feeling, you're right, Ranch. You know, it's just a new feeling for everybody, from Bernie Federko to Bob Plager to Kelly Chase. I talked to Jeff Brown. The list goes on and on. Everybody at that parade, not only just the current players, but the fans, of course, and the alumni, just felt a connection to themselves being a part of winning it.
You know, even hearing people outside the market who have become aware of that, Greg Wyshynski, we talked to him a lot. And even him, and it wasn't on our show, but I had heard him say at some point in the last few weeks that the relationship the current team has with all the alumni, that it's not something that's typical. That's not really usual in other hockey markets. I mean, it does happen, but it doesn't happen quite like it happens here. And that's like not fake. You know what I mean? Because I feel like there are a lot of teams that could probably try to force that to happen, force those relationships to happen. And it doesn't always take, but for whatever reason, the current Blues don't look at the former Blues and say, oh, what's this old guy doing around here? You know, why is he hanging around our locker room? It just is not like that here. Everybody is kind of one unit here, and it's very unusual.
It's hard for me to qualify. It really is, and I've tried to do it over the years because I just don't have a handle on what it's like to, you know, to be with the Vancouver alumni, the Montreal Canadiens, which I'm sure is super strong alumni. But everything I hear, and it's not just from the Kelly Chases of the world, it's people around the league. You know, they say that you don't have the numbers. You don't have 30 to 40 alumni living in the neighborhood. You don't have them participating at the coaching level with the young kids, the grassroots level, like you hear about here in St. Louis. And the one thing I can vouch for, I can qualify, is, you know, I've been in the locker room basically every day for the past 15 years. And you'll see, you know, a couple years ago, Noel Picard walked through and everybody just gravitates toward him. These aren't 18, 20, 22-year-old kids who say, who's that? You know, just keep on walking and get on their Instagram. This is a situation where a young 20-year-old Blues player will go up to a Kelly Chase and say, who is this? And Kelly will explain it to him. And then you'll see that young player, and let's just say a Picard or, you know, somebody, a Brian Sutter, and they'll be in the corner conversing for 15 minutes. I just think that that has been passed down through the years. And I have to believe that part of it has to do with not winning a championship. I just think that every generation of Blues players continued to root for the next generation, and there was an appreciation for the ones that didn't get it done. I mean, it's vice versa. It's the older players wanted the new guys to do it, and the newer players wanted to do it for the older guys.
Finally, JR, this was spectacular, 2018, 2019, but you mentioned you're going to the draft, and with a cap, you can't keep everyone. As you'd love to keep everybody with your heart, as a management, as an organization, you have to think with your head. Do you think that the Blues might make a major move this offseason?
Yeah, isn't it crazy? You think about the Blues roster, and now you want a Stanley Cup, and it's going to be hard to keep everybody. It is. I think they're set up pretty well, Randy, this offseason. It's going to depend on what they decide to do with a couple guys. And to answer your question about making a major move, you have guys with 1 year left on their contract, Alex Pietrangelo, Braden Schenn. Obviously, those guys are two key parts to the foundation. Alex Pietrangelo, I think he's solidified himself as a leader, and even if he's going to want 6 or 7 years at $7+ million, I think that's something that the Blues would probably be interested in. Braden Schenn's another story. Could they make a move with knowing that they have some young up-and-coming forwards? I think that's a possibility. But I think for this year, as the Blues sit with about $18 million in projected cap space, with 16 roster spots occupied, you know, they're going to have to pay guys like Oscar Sundquist and Ivan Barbashev and, of course, Jordan Binnington. But just watching Doug over the past few years, just to see how he gets things done, squeezes guys in, gets Edmondson done last year, squeezes Pat Maroon in. You know, he does a lot with what he has, even though they're a cap team. So I don't anticipate any problems this year. I think what he's going to do is use the flexibility that he's going to have with the contracts, with like a Jordan Binnington, with a Pat Maroon, just to make it all work. And I think you're going to see this team look pretty similar to what it does now when we come around to next year.
JR, always good to hear your voice. Great work as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider from The Athletic on 101 ESPN. Coming up, your Hot Topics of the Day in the Fast Lane. The Cardinals open a four-game series with the Marlins tonight at the ballpark. Miles Michaelis, who is 1-4 with a 7.76 on the road, but 3-3 with a 2.87 at home, will go for the Redbirds. By the way, Michaelis at home, 47 innings pitched. He has allowed 34 hits and struck out 35, and hitters are hitting 204 against him. He is going to be opposed by the Marlins' young right-hander, Eliezer Hernandez, and that game starts at 7:15 at the ballpark. So go Cards. See if you can get another win after taking 3 of 4 over the weekend from the Mets.
Randy, so I'm looking at our rundown here, and let's just say this. It is June 16th, so we are almost halfway through the Cardinals.
17th.
What did I say?
16th.
Oh, it's the 17th. You're right. So we are almost halfway through the Cardinals season. Well, regular season. Maybe there's playoffs. So here on June 17th, the Cardinals have just won 5 of 7 games. 5 of their last 7. We have set aside no time to talk about the Cardinals today.
How about that?
That's incredible. When have we ever done this? When have we ever had a four-hour program in the middle of June and we're not really spending much time talking about the Cardinals? Even after they have done what they've done over the past week. And granted, it's against teams that are not very good, but still, that's what you're supposed to do against the Marlins and against the Mets. You were supposed to dominate those teams, and they took care of business over the last week. This may be the only moment we talk about the Cardinals today.
And the Cardinals start the day 3.5 behind the front-running Brewers in the Central, 2.5 behind the Cubs, and also 2.5 behind the Cubs for the second spot, and the first spot, actually, in the National League wild card race. Albert Pujols will return to St. Louis on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with the Angels. A long time coming, as he's in the 8th year of a 10-year contract with the Angels, but it's the first time we've had an opportunity to see him here in St. Louis since he left as a free agent after the 2011 season. So just give him a hand for the last time you saw him winning the World Series with the Cardinals in 2011.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it's going to be quite the ovation, I would say.
You think?
Yeah.
You think it's the greatest ever?
Yeah.
Greatest ovation ever?
Of a returning player?
Yeah, bigger than and better than Freeze or Edmonds or any of those guys?
I think it would have to be.
I think so.
I think it would have. I mean, I know Freeze for his moments that were as important as any Cardinals moments in history. That alone gets you a massive ovation. But the body of work for the guy who's coming into town, it would have to be the single greatest ovation they've ever given a former player.
The Blues are still going to be heard from Wednesday night. The NHL awards ceremony will take place. Doug Armstrong, a finalist for General Manager of the Year. Craig Berube, a finalist for Coach of the Year. Jordan Binnington, a finalist for the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. And Ryan O'Reilly, a finalist for the Selke for Best Defensive Forward and for the Lady Bing for the Most Gentlemanly Player. So the Blues have a chance to pick up a lot more hardware on Wednesday night in Vegas.
Randy, if you had to take a guess right now, how many awards are they coming home with?
I think Binnington wins easy. I think that it's pretty safe bet for
Armstrong.
O'Reilly as not Selke, but Lady Bing, Army, and Barry Trotz has to be the Coach of the Year. Well, all due respect, these were votes that were taken after the regular season, and Berube did a magnificent job with the Blues in the regular season. But Barry Trotz had his team in the top five of the league for the whole year, a team that was bottom of the barrel and lost their best player, lost John Tavares to free agency. So I think Trotz probably gets the Coach of the Year.
And whatever they get this week, they absolutely deserve. I can't stop smiling thinking about what they've accomplished here and some of the individual honors, some of the individual performances that we have seen leading them to this great team accomplishment. All of it. And I know for people listening, it's probably true today still. The parade just happened a couple of days ago. The buzz of that, for me, has not worn off yet. And
no,
I really
either.
Don't want it to. I mean, like, I'm thinking ahead to tomorrow. And we're not, you know, it's over, right? The parade is over. All that stuff is over. But all I want to do at this moment is talk about the Blues. It's crazy I still feel this way in the middle of June.
For all of the joy of our parade, the Toronto Raptors celebrated their championship today in Toronto, and unfortunately their celebration took a more somber and frightening tone after reports of gunshots. Multiple videos appeared on social media showing a large portion of the crowd scattering, and Toronto police have now confirmed that there were shots fired at the Raptors victory parade in Toronto.
What is it with Canadians and their celebrations and or I guess what Vancouver did wasn't really a celebration. What do you call that?
When you lose? That was a reaction.
Okay, a reaction. What is it? They're the nicest people.
Yeah.
Collectively, Canadians are so nice.
Nothing bad happens up there.
I know. Like, Toronto's one of those towns, even Toronto, which is a big, it's 5.9 million people in the metro area in Toronto, and a lot of them don't lock their doors. And then you have stuff like this. It's just remarkable.
Later on in the show, we are going to visit with father and daughter, Daniel and Emily. And Oscar Sundquist, her favorite player, actually took Emily away from the sidelines and brought her into the parade and stayed with her for a while. And so that was very cool. A tremendous story that the dad tweeted out, and we'll hear from Daniel and Emily later. But we want to hear from you as well with the mic drop on the 101 ESPN app. What's the one thing you will never forget from the parade or the rally at the Arch Grounds? The Blues Parade is unforgettable. So was the rally. What's the one thing you will never forget about that? We want to hear from you here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We've got a new fighter coming up. Did the guy miss a chance for the Hall of Fame on Friday?
He did.
Oh, who beat him? BT or you?
BT.
Wow.
Amazingly.
That's fantastic.
Don't know how it happened.
So
it happened, though.
A new fighter coming your way next in the 4 o'clock fight on 101 ESPN.